Gunslinger Posse, whenever and wherever you are, this is Branded for January 10th, 2024, live from Matanga's Pizzeria, number 11 on pizzatoday.com, pizzerias to watch in the nation, located here in Schertz, Texas, for Intramuros. He's Tom Manas, head coach and general manager of the San Antonio Gunslingers. I'm Ralph Judkins, and I'm stuffed on crust, not stuffed crust. So let's go. We want to hear from you wherever you're from. And if you have a question or comment or question for the coach, put a Q in front of it. Hey, players, I know you're out there, and I know you're watching. Make sure you put your name in there, the position you play, and your home time.
And hometown.
Hometown. And if
time's good, too.
Yep. Home time. Yeah, home time, hometown. Yeah, you're getting your home time now. Enjoy it while you can, gentlemen. Enjoy it while you can. Thanks, Texas Pete. I have to go aerodynamic. He's commenting on the haircut. It's a short drive if you're in Northeast San Antonio to come out I-35 to FM 3009. Take a left and hang a right to the right, and you are at Matanga's Pizzeria. Coach, how you been?
I'm good. Great to be back for the duration.
For the duration, boy, we do have a lot to cover tonight. Mark Yamaguchi, as always, checking in also from Houston.
Much appreciated.
I guess that's it for the opening. We might as well go to the first quarter, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just great to be back and be back here. And we had a great dinner. Got to spend some time with Matt, the owner.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's fun. It's a great place to come. I hope people take advantage of it, especially when the season starts as well. So.
And it's a little different feel tonight because Susan's not here. You put her on an airplane, what, Monday?
Yeah.
That, miss her
that,
already.
That hurts. We had a great visit. We went to Bohannon's Steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend that place. I was told by our owner it's one of the best, if not the best, steakhouse in San Antonio, and James and Stephanie came with us, and we had a great time. So it was fun, and she got to come in for the show, and then also for what we're going to talk about with the All-American Bowl.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So. But that we got to get to. That's teasing the first quarter.
Yes, of course.
So we'll go ahead and get right to that. Philip Higginbotham signing in, writing for the brand. Philip, the host of Smoking Guns podcast, and I do have an answer to the question that was asked on the show. No one's asked it yet here, but I know the question, Phil, and we've got the answer. Thanks for tuning in. April Stubing saying hi, guys. April was busy this week.
Wow, she's a rock star. She works her butt off. She does so much for the players and for, you know, the organization, while managing a house full of children and Jordan. So, yeah, she's
husbands do require managing. I'll admit.
I live in my house with scaffolding around me because Susan's always trying to fix me. So I just walk around with scaffolding, and that way it makes their job so much easier.
Jerry's a project down from Austin, Jay Washington. Hey, Jay, Matt definitely said he was expecting you tonight to give you a pizza that he promised last week. I know the logistics of that is a bit far at this point, but he remembers very, very clearly. And we remember very, very clearly. We'll be right back with the start of the first quarter when we return. You are watching Branded live from Matanga's Pizzeria in Northeast San Antonio. Stick around for the first quarter.
Antonio. Are you tired of the same old chain pizza that tastes like cardboard? I thought we were done eating paper in school. Maybe not. It's up to you. At Matangas, we bring you flavors that are authentically Texan. We're talking about fresh dough that we made in-store every single day. We're talking about cheese that's shredded in-store for that authentic cheese flavor. We're talking about brisket because this is Texas, y'all. We're talking about our Texas roll. Can't get those anywhere else. We're talking about Texas ranch because when you put jalapenos and ranch together and you dip it in with pizza, just drink it. Lastly, we got a pothole pizza because we had to name a pizza after our roads. You know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to see you soon. Find a Matangas near you.
Don't get left in the dark again. John Wayne has a full warehouse of standby generators ready for immediate installation. We'll keep the lights on, we'll keep your appliances running, even if you lose power. Call or text John Wayne today and don't pay anything until October 2024.
Spreester, Jimenez, Caskey, Ramirez.
Cars ramming into DPS troopers.
I do the behind the kitchen door.
Hear about the video of your DWI arrest.
Expect more at 10.
Tonight on the Night Beat.
Night on the Night Beat.
The Night Beat. 2023 has been a landmark year for the Indoor Football League. Our 15th season saw tremendous growth, both on and off the field. Bold steps towards a bright future, cutting-edge fan engagement, and powerful new partnerships. And we're just getting started. There will be more in 2024. Calculated growth, strong franchises, and the best indoor football on the planet. The IFL.
That's okay.
And welcome back to Branded here from Matangas Pizzeria. Ralph Judkins along with Coach Manas as we represent the in the very earliest of preseason polls.
Yeah, one
the team fixed
today.
To be dead last in all of the leagues everywhere. I really, really think that we can do better than that, Coach. I really do. I think that sets the bar remarkably low, and so we'll be able to manage those expectations really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremiah Wilkerson joining us saying, I'm ready for the season to start. Jeremiah, we're not quite ready, but I know what you're saying, and I know what you're feeling. Yeah, I'm ready for some football, and we're going to get started here very soon with some camp. And Philip immediately replying, said, let the underrating begin. Yeah, you can sell us short all day, but wait till the whistle blows.
Call me. Put your money where your mouth
yeah,
is.
Yeah. We'll take it. So this is your first full week back
right
here in San Antonio. For those that are keeping count, and that is everybody, 64 days till camp.
Right.
This Sunday it will be 60, as we talked about. How are you feeling about how we're looking and how things are progressing in general with this week and just things getting done?
Well, I mean, obviously priority right now is just taking care of the punch list of everything from making sure, you know, the uniforms, helmets, the practice facility, our new facility. We're buying a new field, which we're going to, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, it's the same one that the Arizona Rattlers use.
It's not blue.
No. No, we're a green.
That's for Philip Higginbotham. It's not blue. It's not blue.
We're a green field with white stripes. The infrastructure in general, you know, making sure the housing's completed, which we did everything today. Everything was signed off on today and finished. And
good.
We're designing new locker rooms at the facility. We're going to have a lounge for players' lounge. We're going to have a weight room. We have, the training center, the training and rehab center is going to be there. Merchandising is going to be there. Ticket sales will be there. It's beautiful, and couldn't be more excited. And it'll be done by the time we get to camp.
Yeah, we were talking with Weston. I'm going to kick the camera over here. Hey, Weston, say hi to everybody. Weston's our merchandise specialist, and he's talking about the new store that's going to be in the front there. People are going to be able to drive in off to our as-yet-undisclosed location, and buy.
Today the heavy equipment was there prepping for putting down their arena field. We're not practicing at a high school. We're not, you know.
Not practicing on grass.
Not practicing. We have an arena football field to practice on every day with goalposts, everything that you would want as a professional athlete and how to be treated. You know, from down to every day we're going to cater lunch in for the players. They're going to have breakfast and dinner provided at the hotel. And then, you know, in a private room to eat their dinner and breakfast. And then every day at lunchtime, they're going to get a catered meal at the facility after practice. You know, so all those little components that you could ask for. And then we had done the second auction. I don't know if we talked about the second auction.
Well, we mentioned about the entire league that folded. And we mentioned a few things about the jugs machines.
Yeah, but then there was some carryover, and we got another phone call, and we bought a whole other truckload of stuff, sleds and, you know, just all the stuff that you wish you had as a football coach to help with, power sleds, two-man sleds, one-man sleds, tackling sleds. All those things are going to be available to our players. You know, we know we got great players coming in, but this is going to make them even better because when you can practice with this stuff every day, you're going to be a well-conditioned athlete, and, you know, you're going to have every opportunity to get better every day. So we're excited about that. You know, and we want to make it fun for the guys when they come and they want to spend time at the facility, pool tables. What do they call that hacky sack thing that you throw the beanbag in the hole?
Are you talking cornhole?
We got cornhole area. We got a basketball court we're putting up. So, it, you know, all those things. So when you come in, you want to stay there. You want to watch film. You want to create a brotherhood with your teammates. So, yeah, we're excited about all that.
And I got to say, that's very, very key because – if the best thing you have to look forward to, if everything is back at the hotel, you're in a hurry to get back to the hotel, and when you're back at the hotel, you're isolated. You're away from your teammates. It's maybe your roommate. You close the door,
right,
and you're not with anything else. R.J. Roundtree checking in from Maryland, defensive back. He's following the response. Phil Higginbotham with a bit of exposition here. Saying the Gunslingers have had blue home turf for one game in their history. Let's never do that again. Coach says,
that's
Phil,
never it's, gonna
it's,
happen.
It's not going to happen
again. Well, first of all, Don Rackler's old school like I am. So that ain't ever going to happen.
Malcolm Washington checking in saying, guns up, let's go. Three Flames. And I've got a partial comment here. The Mission's highlighter saying, we're the Gunslingers of San Antonio, or is that we're the Gunslingers? Oh, I think he's referring to the old song, We're the Gunslingers of San Antonio. I've got to play that one. I really got to do because I think we're fairly sure that no one else owns it, that Don owns it because he owns
the Gunslinger name.
Yeah. The Gunslinger name and that song.
Probably.
It's kind of corny, but it is fun. Zach Brown, of course, checking in, saying guns up. Thank you very much, Zach.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we have a group chat. The captain set up, per my request, they set up a couple group chats. We have one that's just for players only, where they can have their own dialogue, not worrying about coaches being on it and all that. And then we have another one where we have the coaches on there as well, so we can give updates on things. But I saw a post came up, hey, where can we watch the show and when can we watch the show? So that's good. I mean, I want them to be, you know, one of the things I've been trying to say is that a lot of teams will go at this and just try to win the championship, and it's kind of like throwing dice against a wall. We're creating a culture, and we want this culture to be sustainable, not only for this year, but for many years to come. So when players know when they sign with the Gunslingers, they're going to be treated like professional athletes all the way around. And that's when I was talking about the facility and all the other things we got going on. But, you know, and that's all due to Don and James, you know, and what they do. And they put their money where their mouth is, and they go from there. So, You know, players have a big responsibility, you know, when they come in. You know, we have one mission, one goal. But we're going to make it where it's fun to do it, too. And they have a good time while they're here.
Well, one of those guys, Dante Eldridge, checking in, saying from he's from Evergreen, Texas. So another talent in the great state of Texas. He's one of the tackles, very excited for the season. Guns up, and I especially like this hashtag, ring season.
Yeah.
One thing at a time, but absolutely, absolutely positive answer. So yeah, speaking of positive things, this last weekend was the All-American Bowl here in San Antonio featuring high school athletes nationwide.
Right.
And the Texas All-Star Bowl before that. But before all of that, that was the All-American Bowl breakfast, and you were the keynote speaker.
I was.
How did that go?
Oh, it was great. It was sold out. We actually turned people away.
Wow.
I think there were close to 200 there in attendance. What was unique about it was we were sitting at basically the owner's table, right? Mm-hmm. Don and James and I. And we were sitting there, and we had an airborne officer with us, and you know, I saw a couple Delta Force guys, and I saw a couple, you know, there were, I think, two or three generals there. So, you know, and then the young kids, the high school kids going through ROTC, the first-year deployed guys. It was a mixed crowd. It was great because, you know, it's funny because Joe Bray, who is the civilian liaison, for the U.S. Army, he kind of coordinated me being on this on the podium, and you know, while we were up there and we were talking, and he said to me right before I got on stage, he said, "Oh, I just want you to know that we usually have Hall of Famers here doing this."
Wow, said, that's an honor.
I said, okay. I go, like, who? He goes, well, we had Anthony Munoz, and we had this guy, and we had that guy. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know. But I think they liked what we had to say or what I had to say. It was very little about football. It was about our mantra, which is being the best version of yourself. It was about taking responsibility, being self-disciplined, a little bit about bravery and how you define bravery. Like all heroes don't wear uniforms and capes, you know, they're everyday people. And with that crowd, you know, you're talking 200 alphas in a room, male and female. And so, they got it. And it was, they were very complimentary afterwards, and it was great. And then we had Jeff and DJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff is checking in now.
Yep.
Saying it was a very well-said speech. I'm sure Jeff felt that he was kind of at home at that because he was amongst those that served
his peers.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah, amongst his
but
peers.
But it was nice because afterwards I took him out to the ranch where I live, and then I took him out to Don's place.
Now, he wasn't the only player that was with you,
DJ.
Right? Yeah, DJ was with you as well as Jeff?
Yeah, DJ and Jeff, and DJ had brought his fiance. I'm sorry, DJ, I hope she's your fiance. No, she's a wonderful girl. If she's not your fiance, you're dumb. But took them out to the ranches, took them out to the facilities. Their jaws hit the floor when they saw the facility. I think they posted some pictures on their private group, and it went over very well. It's been a good week, we'll say.
Excellent, excellent. We have more comments coming in from players. Iman Caldwell. Tapping in from Sanford, North Carolina, saying guns up, as well as Malik Stevens, Malik Booby Stevens. Okay, so we now have our first new nickname from Orange Lake, Florida.
Yeah, and you got to have way better nicknames than you had last year because those sucked. Those were horrible nicknames. Yeah, we just call them by the last name. Let them build their brand.
Oh, well, I asked the players, and that was the brand.
Yeah.
Okay. I did. I wanted to help them as best they could. Yeah. Malik saying he's thankful for the opportunity. Right, open a lot of eyes in the league. Yes, I believe that's exactly what we're about. Malik is doing precisely that.
It's funny because someone was talking about quarterbacks, and they were bragging on some quarterback that threw 50 touchdowns. And I said, Sam threw like 75 or 78 or something like that, and he had only two interceptions, and you're not going to even qualify him in that conversation? Come on. Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah, but it was in another league. So.
No, I get it.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
Sure. Tina Myers-Haddad had checked in.
She's coming in town.
Okay, Force of Nature.
Force of Nature's coming in town.
Yeah.
She'll be here in February. She's coming in for the rodeo.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That is...
And she'll be here for the show.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
That'll be fun. I don't know if she wants to be in front of a camera, because she's usually one that's behind the camera taking the pictures.
Yeah, we'll worry about that when we get closer.
One thing when we get there. Okay, you ready to move
sure.
on to the second quarter?
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the second quarter, and I did want to preface this by, I've got to find it here, Jay Washington was saying, any information on when the 2024 rule book will be released? The answer to the question, Jay, is we don't know, but we are going to be talking rules in our very first rule segment coming up here in the second quarter.
You know what? Why don't I just post the rule book on our Facebook page?
I don't know, Coach. Why don't you?
I can do that.
Now, it's the 2023 until we get another one, and I'll give the final word of the quarter to the Missions highlighter, who did come back and did give me a bigger clue, and it is, in fact, the lyrics from the Gunslingers theme. We are the Gunslingers of San Antone. We are the Gunslingers on the road or at home. Remember the Alamo, for such we are known. We are the Gunslingers of San Antone. And this is Branded live from Matanga's Pizzeria. Stick around.
Our last show.
For our latest show. It might very well be our last
show. I know. We're going to get canceled.
Let's go into the second quarter. Back in a bit, Mo.
Dependability. It's expected by our customers, and it's demanded by me. I personally guarantee the certified techs we send to your home and the equipment we install are dependable. John Wayne's American Pride Comfort Systems are designed specifically for San Antonio's extreme heat and humidity and come with a lifetime warranty. Right now, get a complete new system with affordable monthly payments from $72, plus get no interest and no payments for 12 months. For comfort you can depend on, call John Wayne today.
It's so easy to love Pick and Pull. Why? How about the largest inventory in South Texas? How about the ease of finding your part with our interchange and real-time inventory search at pickandpullsa.com? How about an organized yard and maps to find your parts, plus a shuttle? At Pick and Pull, we make it easy to save money on the quality used auto parts you need at a price you can afford.
More to pick, less pull from your budget. Now that's Pick and Pull.
And welcome back to Matanga's Pizzeria. Andrew Hoffman, you see him on the edge of the screen. There you go. There's Andrew Hoffman. Won a 2023 football. Come out to Matanga's, and it could be you next time around. Welcome to the second
the quarter.
Came out. And Texas Pete saying the rule book, we were talking about the rule book, is on the IFL website. And let's draw it in, make it bring it closer to home. And Mark Yamaguchi with a special request. Can we put the team roster up there as well?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go. You get an answer very, very quickly. Tia Myers-Haddad saying, yes, she's looking forward to being the team photographer, that it's going to be awesome. Joe Ochoa did actually receive his blackout jersey in the mail today. Weston, Joe Ochoa did get his jersey, the blackout jersey in the mail. He's confirming that. matching party of five for the season. Where they're all going to become, they're all wearing blackout, Joe. That is, we'll be able to find you in the camera for sure. We'll definitely be able to see you. Say again? He bought five season tickets. Okay, that's what he's telling us. We're going to have five season tickets as well.
Thank you.
Quante Battle checking in, saying 1-0 each week. Absolutely. And Joe Cho replying that we need more cowbell.
More cowbell.
Weston, they didn't hear. We need more cowbell. There it is. More cowbell.
Oh, Lord.
Well, it is a great day to be a gunslinger because there are some serious big doings down at what I think we're going to call Gunslinger Nation. I know the nation thing, such and such nation, is overused. It's normally just a fandom. Well, everything's a little different here in Texas, and everything we think's a little better in San Antonio.
Well, this is a real place.
It's a real place. You can actually go.
Right.
You can actually post your flag. You can actually visit this thing called Gunslinger Nation. Tell us about the big doings going on there. What are we talking about?
Well, we kind of talked about it a little bit already. You know, things are going very well, advancing very quickly over at the facility. We reaffirmed that we're going to have open practices. There may be some closed practices, you know, as well. And if we're going to have a closed practice, we'll post it so you don't waste a drive over. But, yeah, we are going to have, for the most part, you could come to practice every day if you wanted to. We'll have a food truck there. We'll have, you know, for the fans, we'll have the bleachers, and we'll have all that set up. And, of course, like we talked about earlier, they can walk in and see Weston and buy some merchandise, buy a season ticket, buy a ticket right when they're there. They're going to get an opportunity to meet the players up close and personal. It's coming together nicely, and it'll be ready to roll by March 14th.
That's very exciting. We knew, and something that was going to eventually happen, we knew was going to happen. This guy, Joshua Resignalo, says,
"Hey, Josh.
Give him hell, coach."
Hey, you know what, Josh? I miss talking to you, buddy. Congrats on West Virginia. That's a great spot for him, and he's going to – I'm just – couldn't be happier for him and everything he's got going on right now. He's a good guy, so wish him the best.
Keith checking in from Gone Country Hat saying, howdy, everyone from Orlando.
Howdy, Keith.
And wanted to again, the guy providing the lyrics to the Gunslinger song. This is a question for Jordan, who's not here tonight, but I'm pretty sure. Well, I know April. We know April's listening for sure. Jerseys. Will there be a branded fans jersey? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. There it is.
Why wouldn't there be?
Why wouldn't there be? Yes. Come to the show to get it. But they, Weston is putting a caveat in that. But in order to get a branded jersey, you'd have to come to the show.
No, that'd be great. It's funny because they redid the Hummer, my car.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
On the back tailgate, it's got the branded thing. And
why don't we have a video of that? Like we had the video of the Gunslinger's truck and we got the new wrap.
Yeah, we can. We can do something. But, you know, it's been all over our social media anyway, or mine. It's been around. The thing about it is, which is really nice, is that we were talking about branding, using the branded logo on cowbells, using the branded logo on T-shirts or, you know, fan jerseys and things like that. I think that'd be great. I'm sure Jordan can come up with something spectacular because that's what he does.
And we ask in from our mouth to Jordan's ears, he said, branded jersey coming up.
There you go. God love that kid, man.
You got to love this organization that it is so responsive.
What was funny today, we were walking down, Don and I were walking around, and we were walking around the facility, and he's like, well, what do you want there? And I go, well, I'd really like, he goes, okay, well, what do you want there? And what do you want there? And what do you want there? And we went through and we got done, and he said, you got everything you want? And I said, yes, sir. Yes, please. And that's the vision they have, right? That's the culture they're developing. You know, Jordan and April and Don and James, they've been doing this now for you know, since they took over the team, and just grinding, man, just grinding. And it's going to be so nice for them to have all that hard work that they built this foundation. They built this, you know, rock foundation that we're building on now. If it wasn't for them, none of this would be possible.
No, it would just be an idea.
Right.
Jay Washington checking in. Maybe Keith can respond to this one. Branded logo, cowboy hat patches.
We're actually working on, we're going to have the inside of the cowboy hat is going to be a gunslinger. And then we're going to do, at the games, we're going to have a multitude of different things that you can do to your cowboy hat. You can brand it. You can put, you know, you can put our brand on there. You can put the Gunslinger's brand on there. You can put the John Wayne brand on there. You could do, get feathers. You can deck out your hat. You can, the hat bands. We're going to have all that.
That's going to be really, really, really cool.
Right.
Missions Highlighter again coming back. I think this is a little redundant. If we have a fan's jersey, I said like the player's jersey. How about a Coach Manas fan jersey?
Oh, hell no.
Isn't that what branded is? This is, you know, with head coach Tom Manas.
Let me be abundantly clear. It's about the players.
Right.
Okay. It's about the players. It's not about the coaches. It's about the players, and that includes myself. Players win games. It's a player's game. We give them the best opportunity to be the best version of themselves, but it's on the players, and they should get all the love on that stuff. So,
not at all about us, but it is about the field. We were talking about the field earlier, that we've got the practice facility there, that we're getting a new field. It is going to be
in our arena,
state of the art.
State of the art.
It will be the field that one of the longest existing teams in indoor football, Arizona Rattlers.
It's the championship field that you saw on CBS. It's the exact same field. It's just like that. We have the world's biggest 50-yard center of the field logo. This thing is gigantic. It's probably as big as this room. And it's all part of the fabric. It's beautiful. The end zones are gorgeous.
That's going to be amazing because the fans that were there at the start of the 22 season when they took over, it was a small object that kind of looked like a bug had landed in the middle of the field.
You couldn't see it in the camera clearly
what the logo was.
You live with what you got.
Right. And that's how we got through.
Right. And so this is just going to be so much nicer. It's so much thicker than the field we currently have. So from a safety standpoint for the players, from a comfort standpoint, it's tremendous. I'm big on that because that's where your head bangs a lot of times, is on that field, and you have a concrete subfloor. So the more padding you have, the better it is. And this is the new generation field. This is not a roll-up field. These are the panels.
Ooh.
So
that's why they have the additional padding. So it's not a putting green sitting on top of concrete.
Correct. And the fibers are different. Everything about it. I mean, you're talking $250,000 field. So it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, let's put this conversation to shirts completely to bed. Philip Higginbotham says this, but I don't agree at all. Nobody at all needs a Ralph Judkins jersey. Not at all. Sorry, Phil. There's no way. There is no way.
Well, maybe your wife.
She's.
We'll do a one-off.
Yeah, I cannot.
I'll tell you what. You could do a jersey with my face on it, and Susan wouldn't buy it.
Right. She's got pictures.
She just wouldn't buy it.
And we talked about this, Coach, you and I, pregame, Teeter Myers Haddad saying she's coming down on the 21st to Brandon, maybe. Oh, you definitely got to come. Definitely got to come in and eat a pizza and be here because
she'll be here.
This is with the fans.
Listen, this is the lady who would not miss a party.
Okay.
Especially, you know, if DJ's with her and we throw DJ on, she'll be here. So
excellent.
Yeah.
So we're about to do something, fans, that we haven't done before, and we're going to do for the very, very first time here tonight. A lot of questions about the game we're going to be playing, especially as we come from the previous league, the NAL. into this league, the IFL, about the rules. So tonight, for your knowing pleasure, we've got a segment here on the rules itself, mostly having to do with the offense here tonight. And we'll start out with showing you the actual rules, and we'll get away from that very quickly because words are boring. Here you go. This is the offense. Four players on the line of scrimmage. So you have your guard and your snapper, and their left and right makes up something called an alley, and you have to have one other receiver on the line.
Correct.
At the start. The guards from the outside shoulder cannot take more than 5 yards.
And the receiver has to be a minimum of 3 feet.
Three yards away. Yeah. And the guards, unlike the NAL game, are never eligible. They're not an eligible receiver. There can only be two backs, the quarterback and the running back in the box. Every one of these people have got to be stationary at the snap. And there's two backs in motion. Because this is a bunch of words. I drew you a picture. So... There we see it. We have the snapper, the two guards in the alley, running back and the quarterback, and the nearest stationary back. And so you have two other receivers in motion. What I tried to do here, folks, if you see the in motion nearest back 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, this is called the heavy formation, I believe.
With what?
If you put a second back behind the quarterback and the running back, they have to be 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage as well.
So you could put a fullback up in front and put a tailback in back or receiver.
Right, but they would have to be 5 yards back.
Right, which who cares, because when they're in high motion, they're a hell of a lot farther than 5 yards.
Right.
So, the thing about it is, if you look at the formations that are there, you could do, I call them diesel, where you have a heavy package where you maybe put another lineman in at fullback, mm-hmm. and then you put one of your receivers at tailback. You can do that, but again, because the way the defensive rules are, you have everybody in the box, essentially. So it's trying to go against, it's running against the people in the box that are already there. What I like and I love is the two high motion, because you can treat that second high motion guy like a tailback, have him coming up and then running a toss or running a handoff or a read option or doing a bunch of different things through the box. So, or through the offensive formation. So, yeah, that's why Coach Fuller, that's why we value him so much, is he's already... I've gotten the playbook, and I can tell you it's significant, and we're going to utilize all that.
Well, to add one more thing, I'll go back to the picture very, very quickly. The motion receivers, however, can be in motion and inside 3 yards as they go by the outside as well. It's only the stationary at the end of the line is there.
Correct.
And I want to go ahead and show a picture. The first time we've done this feature, it's not just a picture, it's a moving picture. So... here we have the Sioux Falls Storm in the championship game. We have two receivers on the left side. You see them underneath the second quarter. An empty backfield with a quarterback and two receivers stationary on the right side. So this is what the offense generally looks like.
Well, now from that, that formation looks like.
That particularly. But you see the guard-to-guard and the quarterback. So let's run this forward a little bit, as they'll snap the ball, and we'll see the motion. We have two different motions, one motion coming through the center, one motion on the far side, and the stationary. Now, because the ball has been snapped, as a defensive guy, what does this backside or these two receivers on the right side of the screen not moving tell you, Coach?
Well, I mean, they're in man right there, and the way that it's set up, the way I see it as being set up is, as soon as he goes through his motion, go a couple clicks ahead. Okay, you see the shift in the defense? Okay, so the safety's coming over. He's sliding over. He's staying mirrored on the front side. And then you have the two receivers here. You have one. They're at levels. He's pressing that hard. That corner's pressing it hard on the board. And now you'll see that cornerback start to come up, because he has to be support on run as well. okay? So that's why I love our defensive backs. Most of our defensive backs are really great run support guys, okay? But again, you know, if you look at this right now, you'll say, okay, hold on. So technically there's four receivers in play, okay? But if you look at the DBs, so you have the Jack linebacker, you have the corner. So let's see, you got one, two, three, four, and five. So again, you got the Mac linebacker. He can go into coverage. The Mac linebacker is now reading the motion through. He's going to get ready to play run support. And then you go from there. If you look at the right offensive tackle or guard, you know, he's pushing out at that point. He's not, you know, it doesn't look like it's a hook. It looks like they're trying to do a little bit of a zone block, but not very successful, I would say, with his footwork and getting body position. So that back linebacker should just be flying up into that motion, because the worst case scenario is you have the backside end still reading the quarterback. Okay, so that's technically, you could make that into a read option where the quarterback's looking at that defensive end. Go back a little bit. So if you look at the defensive end away from the play, not on the play side, okay, his responsibility is he's going to come up when he sees his offensive guard go down. You'll see it here. Keep going. He goes down. Okay, now that if that defensive end crashes down for run support, that quarterback's going to pull the ball, and then he's got a blocker in front of him with one DB.
And all that space on the
left-hand
side.
And all that space. So you have to be, as far as a defensive player goes, you have to be really tough on your rules, right? And you have to have your, you know, read, react, execute mentality. And so he plays it pretty well. Quarterback, I think, gives the ball here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, and he'll end up over by this white patch on the right side, but right. Not much place to go.
Right, because that corner came up. He was already in a close man, hammer man, or a press man. He shed the blocker, and he came up, made the play. Excellent defense.
So, Coach,
play.
You haven't seen this before. How do you like this presentation for our highlights during the season?
Yeah.
You'll be able to talk way through. Hopefully the fans like it, too. Amon Caldwell saying that Coach Fuller is a genius, and he's going to be the one that gets to manage this with so many options.
Right. Well, and look at the people I got him, too, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
he's got weapons.
He's got some great personnel that he's going to have.
Definitely,
with,
so. Definitely got weapons. Well, we've got a guest waiting in the wings for the
one
start
more thing
of third
on
quarter.
This.
Yeah?
Let's make sure that we try to include a rule every show until the start of the season, and we'll just break it down through all the stuff that Tom has given us from the league, and we'll continue to do this. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you like it, make sure you tell us that you like this portion of the show, and we'll continue to do it.
Yeah, please comment in all of our platforms, all of our various. Let me know, did that work for you, folks? Did you get something out of that? Because we don't want to make this really a coachy talk thing. It's a fan experience. What you see the offense is trying to do.
No, we wanted a coachy. No, anyway, but what I was going to say was that if we'll do this up until the season, and then once the season starts,
we'll do highlights. Right,
So we just want really smart fans in San Antonio. So you know when to bitch, and you know when to say, yeah, it was our fault.
Yep. Well, Jeff's chiming in saying he liked the breakdown, Coach, and that he liked it a lot. And Kali Rashad saying, more please.
Yeah, good.
Zach Brown gives us a thumbs up.
Good to hear from Colin.
Mark Yamaguchi say need to keep on doing. Yeah, no, we've been working on this for a while. So it's a hit. It was
a
small feature trial balloon.
Right.
And, okay, the fans, the family, and the players have spoken.
All right. Let's go to halftime.
Yep, we go to halftime, and we got a guest waiting for us on the backside. You are watching Branded Live from Matanga's Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas. We'll be back for the third quarter in just a bit.
Hey, San Antonio, are you tired of the same old chain pizza that tastes like cardboard? I thought we were done eating paper in school. Maybe not. It's up to you. At Matangas, we bring you flavors that are authentically Texan. We're talking about fresh dough that we made in-store every single day. We're talking about cheese that's shredded in-store for that authentic cheese flavor. We're talking about brisket because this is Texas, y'all. We're talking about our Texas rolls. Can't get those anywhere else. We're talking about Texas ranch because when you put jalapenos and ranch together and you dip it in with pizza, just drink it. Lastly, we got a pothole pizza because we had to name a pizza after our roads. You know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to see you soon. Find a Matangas near you.
Quality. Here at John Wayne, it's not just a word, it's our foundation. From the people we employ, to the service that's provided, to the equipment that we design and install, quality matters. For nearly 20 years, providing quality Texas comfort to the San Antonio area communities has been our highest priority. Right now, get a complete new system with affordable monthly payments from $72, plus get no interest and no payments for 12 months. For quality you can count on, call John Wayne today.
Welcome back to Matangas Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas. Jada Pena saying John Wayne is the best. Thank you very much. Don is within the earshot of my voice. I'm sure he heard that. Imon Caldwell saying he really liked the video segment. Texas Pete, what you're asking for is a telestrator, and I don't have one yet, but that is something I want to do. But a guy who does telestrate and illustrate quite a bit, we'll bring on right now Jim Renier with the Smoking Guns podcast. Jim, how are you doing tonight?
Well, you shot out not my podcast, but you
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Inside the Walls Network. Yeah. Somewhere out there, Phil is laughing. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, he's saying,
gave Phil more
you still got it, Jim. He's talking indoor football stuff with all the time. Yeah. Sorry, no. Jim Renier, Inside the Walls podcast, Inside the Walls Network, as you celebrate, you're starting your third season, and a more than a lifelong fan of the indoor game. This was all about indoor for you, wasn't it?
Well, as I was playing high school football, I knew the only chance I could play was not the NFL or Major League. It was arena football. I fell in love with arena football, but that's when arena football was in its heyday. Not what's happening right now.
What? What? This
Lord.
This is not.
Here we go.
We're not on the edge of a golden age. We have so many leagues.
So I want to preface this. let me jump in here real quick. So we've known each other now about 3 years, right?
Yep.
Pretty close. And when we were in the NAL, was a guest on the show a few times and got to build a good relationship. But when I left, we stayed in touch because I value his opinion and his critiques. He's very, I don't want to say blunt on his critiques, but he's very accurate for his critiques because he has a lot of insider information that a lot of fans wouldn't normally be privy to.
Well, he does the thing that you really like, which it's not opinion. It's backed up by facts.
Well, it's backed up by facts. And the thing is, and the reason I asked Jimmy to be on the show was there's a lot of things I can't say. There's a lot of things you can't say.
Nope.
But I wanted an unfiltered kind of opinion on the state of indoor football, and whether it's good for us or bad for us or whatever. But I wanted to hear his critiques on the state of indoor football as it sits for 2024. So with that, is that a disclaimer?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a wonderful preface.
Okay.
Jim's smiling. He likes
okay.
it.
Okay. So, Jim, the stage is yours. So let me ask you a couple questions real quick. So let's start with the NAL. How's mm-hmm. the NAL looking this year?
Let's just say the last 6 months is a complete 180 from when the Sharks won the championship, basically. The communication league is awesome. You can ask for things and people come and give you information. While 6 months ago, it was you asked for something and you were butting heads with people. The organizations they brought in, especially with Omaha and Sioux City, Idaho, and Carolina is doing good things with Coach Negan. They're loading up in Carolina. If you look at Carolina's roster right now, that's going to be a pretty interesting team to watch. I think this might be the year that they could actually win the championship in the AL, saying that the Sharks and your former team are not in there.
They've been dancing around.
There's nobody in the way now.
Yeah, they got Kendrick Gings. They got Adam Smith. They're bringing most of their guys back.
Good. So good for them. No, I'm glad.
Omaha is bringing back all their guys from last year when they were in the CIF, when they went undefeated in the CIF.
And I know we both, in our private conversations, we both said this multiple times, that we're rooting for everybody because that's more opportunity for kids to keep playing, coaches to keep working, fans to keep watching indoor football. So we're rooting for everybody. And that's a selling point. Now, aside from the NAL, what's the next tier in there, would you say?
IFL.
Okay, so if the IFL's in there and we have 16 teams, this will be the 16th year of the league, very stable league. We do have a television deal for our championship game. I've been utilizing a lot of the vendors where we get, you know, special treatment or special discounts or special considerations. From the field to helmets to whatever.
So you're not DIYing the whole thing the whole time where you have to go out and find the contacts.
Well, no, there are starting points. They're giving us the opportunity to use their people too. So I know that you're not necessarily a fan of IFL rules, but the one thing I've noticed, Jim, and maybe you can correct me on this, okay? When we played arena rules the last couple years, and, you know, we had good success, obviously. But then I started watching a ton of IFL film since I took the job. It is a very fast game. Like, it is a ridiculously fast game compared to arena football. I think it's even a little bit faster than your traditional arena. I know the running backs are traditional running backs. They're not, you know, 300-pound linemen. And it makes for some excitement. And the too high motion, which is another thing, you know, that it's another caveat to it. But I want to get your thoughts on it, on the, you know, indoor football rules.
Well,
in general,
I was brought into the arena rules when it started. Ralph knows this. I've been watching countless of films over the last 2 years of the IFL. And I actually look at the IFL game and go, that's more like outdoor football.
I agree.
You watch outdoor football, what, 9 months out of the year? What's the difference watching for another 8 months indoors? The arena game is fun. It's unique. It's a niche sport.
Right. Agreed.
You have people that if they go to this league, it'll give you the next level to go to the, you know, NFL. The IFL over the last 2 years has produced more XFL and NFL talent than any other indoor league. Even the NAL, the AIF, the CIF, and semi-pro.
Right.
You look at the guys who get there. You look at Dallas, Turpin. He won the NFL Special Teams of the Year last year in the NFL.
Right.
He was an IFL guy from Frisco.
Right.
And you got countless of players that get into the XFL and USFL from the IFL. So the game is more
coaches, too.
More coaches.
Look at Green Bay. Right, yeah. He's an IFL quarterback, right?
I love the arena game. I always will. But I love the game of football. Like, I can watch any type of brand. If you put good quality with good players with good talent on the field and they know what they're doing, it's going to have great entertainment, great quality, great family fun, and suspense. So
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you any more than what you just said, is that it's any kind of football, but, you know, and there's – if you're a traditionalist, and you like indoor, you know, indoor football rules, you're gonna say the comparison is more like the outdoor game. If you're if you're a traditional arena football rules person, then you're gonna love that style of play as well, right? So, I think the biggest thing which I'm probably looking forward to this year in coaching is that it's not Iron Man. That I can have a really good offense and a really good defense, and you know, if I wanna have a third down rush end, I can just put him in, and I don't have to worry about substitutions. And so I'm excited about that kind of stuff. And I think the players that we brought in, and you've seen our roster and who we've been signing, and a lot of our guys are coming for the first time into the IFL, or they played in the IFL maybe before the NAL, and then came. Now they're coming back. So
about the players, did you see that power ranking?
Yeah, we talked about it at the start of the show.
16?
Right.
Do they know who
Nova
is?
Yeah, right.
No, apparently
not.
They,
well, it's funny because everyone was touting some quarterback that threw 50 touchdowns, and I said Sam threw over 75, I think, and had two interceptions the whole year.
Sam set the record for the touchdown ratio in the NAL last year.
Right. Well, I would say that's probably pretty close to a top ranking in all of indoor football.
Yeah. He replaced a damn good quarterback who got hurt last year in Connor Blount. So,
correct.
But Sam, when I see that ranking, I go, these guys don't know about DJ Myers. These guys don't know about Kyle Rashad. These guys don't know about Cornelius.
Laquan Murray.
Naquan Murray, T.C. Stevens, Cam Solomon, Tamorian, I'll jump over you any day of the week, Terry. I think a lot of IFL fans are going to be shell-shocked when two NAL teams go in there and they're going to be in the playoffs.
Well, my dream is me and Gibby. Yeah. You know,
What round would that be?
That'd be the championship.
Right. Oh, no, I mean, as far as how many rounds y'all gone?
Oh, me and him?
Yeah.
This would be like six, I think.
Because the Lions before.
Yeah. Yeah. He's only beat me once.
Last year?
Just saying. Yeah. And there should be an asterisk next to that.
When's a win?
No, I love Gibby. I think you're right in the sense that it's, you know, I don't mind being the underdog. You know, on these polls, I don't mind that because it's just so much crap we can talk after we do what we're going to do. You know, it's just, and not me, I'm saying the players, you know, and I want the players to listen. Our expectation is self-inflicted.
Correct.
We're creating our own pressure.
I know from experience.
Right. Yeah,
from your former organization. I was on the Jumbotron for a championship game. So.
Oh yeah. Well, that you know, that's a. Hey, why don't you tell that story? Because that's a great story for the IFL guys that haven't heard it before.
Oh, so the IFL guys who don't know who I am. Okay.
Right. Well, that's okay. You know, they didn't know. They don't know who I am either. Apparently, so.
3 years ago, 22, right? No, that was
22.
Yeah, 22 season.
It was 22.
Halfway through the season. Albany was struggling. Like, you guys couldn't get out of your own way. And me and my former co-host, Zach, got on the show, and we kind of bashed you guys for, like, three solid weeks. Then all of a sudden, you guys found a way to win and start ending the game. And I've talked to Sam multiple times, and he said, we used your thing as motivation. And then Zach was in Albany for the championship game, and he goes, dude, they just had your voice on the Jumbotron. I'm like, what?
They played the clip from your show saying that you didn't think we were going to do well and we were in the gutter and da-da-da. And so we're getting ready to run out on the field for the championship game, and they play our what do they call those?
Hype video?
They play our hype video, and then they have his voice going over the hype video right before we walk out. And he's like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
It wasn't on YouTube. I never saw this.
Yeah,
so.
It was great. And so,
I have it.
Yeah,
video.
He has it.
Excellent.
It's awesome.
Yeah, send that to me. Why did you never send that to me?
And then
so much stuff.
that we run out there. And
it's fun. They got smoked. Sorry, Coach Rez.
Oh, you want to see something funny? You want to see something funny?
Can you clearly pull that so you can see it clearly? So you can see champions clearly.
Those were the shirts that were destined to go to the homeless. And I grabbed one out of the box before it left. So that's actually old. For Zach. I was doing that for Zach Brown. So, you know. But the funny thing about it was that, you know, everyone.
Rez says they paid for that with a beating. They paid for Jim's comment with a beating that they took.
But it was fun. The game, though.
He can say that now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean it was a fun. The best part about that game though, Jimmy, was that all year long we haven't had a game where, like, we were in the fourth quarter, and there was like 11 minutes left. And I started doing the math. Mm-hmm. Okay, we get the ball. And I turned to one of our coaches and I said, we won this. Like, I knew with 11 minutes to go that we won the game.
Based on the time and possessions. And
time
points.
And possessions and who was going to. And I've never had that before. And so to have that, it was almost like I got to really enjoy that championship.
Because the outcome had already been decided.
Well, I thought that was a defensive game like nobody had ever seen before in indoor football. I mean, it was just dominant. You know, I felt bad for him almost, you know.
Yeah, Cisse, Hag, they were going crazy that game.
Oh, yeah. Cisse, Hag, all of them.
Had his high ankle sprain in that game, so he was a little limited in that game.
He was not at mobility-wise at 100%. What?
But Coach,
rolled over him in that overtime.
What's that now?
The week before, you needed a Roscoe's deuce to clinch that win against Jacksonville. That was that was all the way down to the wire.
Yeah.
And was a weapon all year that season.
Right. And I say this, without him, mm-hmm. of course. Without any of the guys. I mean, it was a full team effort. But, you know, I'll say this is that, and I tell the team this, well, we come in the locker room, we win by 40, great job. We come in and we win by one, great job. Hardest thing in life to do is win a professional football game. I don't care if it's by 1 point or 30 points or whatever it is. You take the win, put it in your pocket, get out of town, you know, because they're so hard to come by. That's the thing about this league is that there's so many good teams and there's so many good coaches. You know, the Les Mosses and the... Although, yeah, well, and we're in the West, right? Thank you. Thank you very much. Right?
Yeah.
So but I'm looking forward to that. I mean, that's something I'm really looking forward to is coaching against really good coaches and really good players. So it's going to be fun. You know, we'll see what happens. But I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good about our odds with the people we have. And what we're trying to do. So,
Philip Higginbotham chimes in with another question that a lot of fans want to know.
Okay.
Will Gibby get to block touchdown passes from off the field again this year?
Ooh.
Just asking.
Ooh.
If so, against you one guys of my... won't be affected by it.
Against,
right.
Against my OC. Yeah. No, that was... I even said this. I mean...
I wonder if Lance Evans is out there.
No. Listen. No, but... Realistic, it was a completely shitty move, okay? But it was not done with malice. It was done at spur of the moment. What got me is the high fives afterwards. That was hard to swallow. But, and again, you know, he took it. He said, yep, you know, took his fine, did what he had to do. And, you know, he's doing great things in Jacksonville. I'm just glad he wasn't there in 21 and 22, you know, because he's a good football coach. And he can make, I mean, you talk about a guy that should be on, like, one of those shows, Chopped, because he can take a bag full of ingredients and make it taste good. You know, he can do more with little than I've seen a lot of coaches do at any level. He's a good football coach.
He made the Columbus Lions a championship organization. He just didn't have enough in Columbus. When he went to Jacksonville, he had that extra oomph that got him over that hump.
Yeah. Yep.
Myers Haddad's telling me, reminding me that Lance is in the IFL. And Philip wants me to ask Jim about the – I'm sorry, in the AFL. Lance is in the AFL. And Philip wanted to ask Jim, or have me ask Jim, about the AFL. Should we even mention them? We already mentioned them by name.
No,
I
we're
guess.
Talking about indoor football. He can talk about whoever he wants to.
Yeah, so what about this this AFL?
Don't choke on your aspirations.
Okay. You know, again, God bless them. Wish them all the luck in the world. I hope everything works out for them. My biggest fear is always going to be the players. And I just worry about them. That's all. And I hope it works out for them, too. So, you know, I'm just going to keep
praying. Famous line from an 80s movie, son, you're writing checks your body can't cash.
Well, you know, I don't mean it in that fashion. I mean it in the fashion that I hope everything works out. I hope they have a complete season. I hope everyone gets paid. I hope no teams fall out. I hope they get their TV deal. I hope they get their uniform deal, their fields done, their stuff done that they need to have done. I hope that they have everything that they need to be successful.
We could talk about that a little bit because you're part of it. When football in our leagues end in August or in July, depending on where your team finishes, there is an area of time from that point all the way to about a week before December, a week before Thanksgiving. That's called selling season.
Right.
That's where you get 99% of your stuff done. If you're still doing stuff in January, you are 6 months to a year behind. And when you realize that, you're already in season. You're 50 days, 60 days, depending on what teams kick off. It's training camp.
Well, don't they kick off like March 30th, right?
It will be 2 months into the season.
Isn't the AFL starts March 30th?
I'm not paying any attention to that.
April, late April.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be a month and a half in to both leagues, NAL and IFL.
The thing I don't like is I've lost one player to the AFL. And when the player left, I said, well, you know what? You're a grown man. You make your decisions. Good luck to you. Do what you need to do. Even in the NAL, we had an integrity factor when it came to recruiting from other teams, right? Mm-hmm. We had some rules with the IFL guys coming to the NAL, NAL guys going to the IFL. There were rules in place. That within the NAL, we had rules and how we could trade or how we could do certain things as well. They don't have rules. If they want you, they're going to just call you up, promise you stuff, and sign you. And then what they don't understand is if my player who left is now suspended from coming into the IFL for at least a year. Mm-hmm. So if, God forbid, something were to happen, he doesn't have a second home here. You know, and that's the thing that scares me is that I hope they're successful so that doesn't happen to players.
There's a term in college, or a lot of us who went to school, that your friends or your dad or your parents, like, you know, fake it till you make it. The problem is you can only fake so much until you start dropping evidence that you're not what you are. And it's starting. They're trying to hide, but it's starting to leak. I'm not going to be here blasting who it is.
Right.
Basic research. And I've had conversations with multiple players, some that are currently on your roster and some on my roster. And I feel like I'm part of the organization, Jacksonville.
That's okay.
Some here in Jacksonville, and a couple of that went to the NAL, they asked me certain things about, man, you're not doing a lot of promotion and hyping. Why? And I go, if you don't see me doing it, that means there are more red flags than China that are surrounding it.
So even your former partner, right, kind of drank the Kool-Aid?
Well, I love Zach. He's a great person.
I do too.
But he's a diehard arena football fan. He loves the arena.
Right.
And that's right. He has his thing. I can't speak anything on there, but I wish he can experience the IFL game and fall in love with it like I did in 2 years. Well, because I watched, I don't know, I just looked on YouTube, almost 600 hours worth of IFL film over the last 8 months. So
right.
I'm pretty well in tune to the IFL.
Right.
And
right.
The NAL, so.
Yeah, no, you having the NAL and having, you know, an open mind with the IFL kind of gives you the best of both worlds too, right? So you get your arena fix and you get your, you know, your indoor fix, right. If you will. Yeah, I mean, there's some really cool things about all the different leagues. You know, again, I hope all of them are successful. I hope all of them prosper. And not for owners, but for the players.
Correct.
I hope all those dreams are fulfilled for the players. That's what I'm hoping.
One of the things I say is, like, when people mention me, it's like, well, what do you know? You don't know what you're talking about. I've been a fan of this sport for 20-plus years. I watched the league.
But you also have connections, too. Like, we were talking about TV deals, and then, well, I know this guy at here, and this guy told me this at this network, and this guy told me this. So you don't necessarily just throw it out there. I mean, it's fact-based, right?
No. If you're trying to launch something in March, your paperwork had to be due in August the previous year. So, and that's for
you're talking about for television,
months. Exactly.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I've come to the realization. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I've come to the realization that the TV model might not work for indoor football. And what I mean by that is that I think that the TV is obsolete. I think streaming is the future. I think YouTube's gotten big enough where you can have your team on visually and get as much play as you would if you were on like a NFL network at 1 a.m. You know what I mean? I'm just saying is that buying TV content is not a way to be successful. And I told this, you want to be on TV? I can put San Antonio on CBS right now, next year. Cost me $150,000 a week to do it, and we'll be bankrupt.
Yes.
I mean, look what happened to the USFL.
Yeah. The number that everyone knows is about $60 million that the XFL lost. The total between the XFL and USFL is around $127 million. And they had every major network.
Right. So again, you know, that TV thing doesn't really sound very good, does it?
Because spring football, the sport that we love, doesn't attract majority of the people who watch the NFL. Once the NFL is over, that 90% of that audience is done.
Goes in hibernation, essentially.
They go to March Madness, they go to hockey, they go to NBA. They don't touch outdoor spring football. It does attract the hardcore fans, the 200,000 to 250,000 fans, or the communities all around our United States, like Jacksonville, San Antonio, you know, Albuquerque, San Diego, even Willing. I have to shout out with Coach Rez here. It attracts small communities. And I've always talked to Coach Gibson and you and a lot of people in my connection. It's like indoor/arena football is about community. It's not about national. Once you get national, it starts crumbling. We saw the example of the AAF. They lasted, week 4 and just completely shut down instantly.
We're very grateful for that, by the way.
Yeah.
We bought all their stuff.
But one thing I always, when I see stuff on social media saying that, oh, they have this deal, they have that deal, or the IFL has this deal. It took the IFL almost 3 years to get their TV deal with CBS Sports Network. Three years.
And Todd worked his ass off to do
it. And
honestly,
I don't know the numbers, but the IFL doesn't lose a lot of money on that game. The average cost for any type of professional 3-hour sport for a, let's just throw out a name, network, NBC, or
okay,
a Fox, or a CBS, or CNN, whatever. It's $150,000 to $180,000 to just get it on TV. And once you buy it, all the people who watch it, that money goes to the network. The people who just bought the time never receive yeah. a dime from it.
Right. You get none of the commercials. You get none of anything to do with that.
It's like
yeah.
a one-way deal. It's like, hey, we want to do this. So, oh, great. Yeah, you can buy our time. You ain't getting nothing from it.
See, that's kind of where we went with buying content, right? So they get free content. Well, actually, it's not free. They make money or at least cover their expenses. But they get free content. Right. They get all the commercial revenue, right? And they get all the ratings and everything that goes with it. I'll tell you, I swear to you, Jimmy, I tried to watch a USFL game, and I made it through like a quarter, and I was going to kill myself, okay? It was so boring to me. And then I watched an XFL game thinking, oh, this is going to be better, and oh, my God, if I hear Rock scream one more time, you know, in the mic. And what's this is honest God truth. I'm friends with a few of the coaches. So one of the coaches that coached in the XFL and I were talking probably about 4 or 5 months ago. And I said, how did you enjoy your experience? And literally said it was the worst experience of their lives. He said that they did not even have a meeting, a team meeting, until the 7th week. And the coaches made it abundantly clear. The coaches were all trying to get back to the NFL. And so they were just, they were playing the plays or playing the guys that they wanted that thought could help them get to the NFL. And if they got to the NFL, great. If not, it's okay too. These coaches just wanted to get back in. And I kind of understand that. I'm not being hypercritical of them having that ambition. But when I said, really, it was the worst experience, he said, we stayed in horrible hotels. We stayed in, you know, we traveled poorly. We didn't have great food. We didn't have great this. There was no community. There was no this, no that. And I said, you know, I think, and then we have some players that just came out, and they have similar stories of it not being as rosy as they thought it was going to be. So, again, if your big mantra is we're going to be on TV, I like what Jeff Bucci has been saying online the last couple weeks. I have a lot of respect for the guy.
He's a cool dude.
He is a cool dude. And
he knows how to do things because he did it before.
Well, and what he said is, if I couldn't do it, if we couldn't do it, how the hell do you guys think you're going to do it when the business model doesn't work? Doesn't work.
I always say this. How are you going to do it when the two biggest brands of our industry, Jacksonville and Arizona, are not associated?
Right.
The two biggest fan. I'm not taking offense.
How about Iowa? The Barnstormers.
Oh yeah, forgot about Doug Bogus in Iowa. I guarantee he's listening. I've heard.
No. But what I'm saying is, even Iowa. You know, you talk about a legacy. That's where arena football started.
That when people think of arena football, they think of Kurt Warner.
And then you talk about things like the Desperados when they were in Austin, and you know the Dallas Desperados, and you talk about this and you talk about that. Listen, I remember coaching in the AFL and going against Danny White when he was in Arizona, and Gruden when he was in Orlando. You know, and we had Markham. Yeah, and we had Markham in Tampa, and you know you're talking about legends.
But you were also playing against Dozell, Aaron Garcia. You were playing against some elite quarterbacks that they went to the AFL because they knew they weren't going to play on the practice squads of NFL teams. And people got to remember, there were no USFL or XFL back then. The original AFL, or Arena Football League, was the spring league.
Right, and we had the world. We had the World League, I think, for a while, and you know, there's always the CFL, but again, it was just those guys laid the foundation, and when Jeff comes out, and Jeff, you know, I never expected him to come out and get in one of these chats and start saying stuff like that, but God love him, he said, hey, if we couldn't do it. And we had, I mean, I remember when I coached, we were on NBC. You know, we were the game of the week. we would be on ESPN. All that stuff.
On NBC.
And we would get, I'm talking, 15 to 18, 20,000 people in the stands for the games.
It was awesome.
Right. And it was, and I remember our fullback made 35,000. And I remember our couple of our linemen were making 50, and our quarterback was making 150 and 170 and all that. And I thought, wow, this, it doesn't get any better than this, right? And then, boom, right? It just implodes because the business model just, there was no revenue opportunity to cover all that.
When
right?
John Elway's and Bon Jovi's leave, then the money goes away.
You know, and there were, I mean, Woody Kern in Tampa, I mean, he would give the guys anything they needed. I was owned, hey, when we were in Detroit, I was owned by Bill Ford.
Yeah.
Okay, and Mr. Davidson, so the owner of the Lions and the owner of the Pistons owned us, and we lasted 2 years.
The Fury, right?
I mean, yeah.
Detroit Fury?
Yeah, the Detroit Fury. Well, 3 years. But that's my point, is that it just didn't work.
The one and thing then the I other thing is the original, you know, AFL did perfectly before it folded in 2009 is when they presented their product. It was top of the line, top graphics, their social media game back in 2009 was elite. That was compared to all the other major sports.
Not to mention their network commercials.
Like that right now. Exactly.
Their network commercials.
Right.
I remember watching, I'd be watching something. I'd be watching the Super Bowl, and they'd have a commercial run for Arena Football, during the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, So, but I mean, it's really good. It's really good stuff. I mean, like I said, I hope everyone does well. Jimmy, we got to let you go, but I want to give you the last parting shot. Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, what news out of the Inside the Walls Network besides syndicating this show?
We syndicate this show every Wednesday the following week. So we'll have this show next week again on our network. Inside the Walls podcast launches next week. And
oh,
I know
good.
My San Antonio buddies want to know if I'm going to do something about the Jacksonville Sharks. And let's just say I have a group of people that are going to do a show just for the Jacksonville Sharks. So if you want a petty Jim Bernier, you will see me over there. But one thing I want to say to San Antonio, we go to Vegas the second week of the season. We plan on being there August 12th weekend. So we're going to go to Vegas twice. We want to see you guys there as well. And also to the power rankings, do some research before you start talking about San Antonio and Jacksonville. But anyways, I appreciate it.
That's a
thank you, Coach.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. So
we'll have you on again soon. Okay, pal. Take care.
50 days. All right. Let's go.
There you go. All right, buddy. Thanks.
That has been Jim Renier and the entirety of our third quarter, Jim Renier of the Inside the Walls Network. We'll get it right this time around. As we head into our fourth quarter, we'll be back to wrap this one up quickly and dominate in the fourth and send it home. You are watching Branded. We'll be right back with the fourth quarter.
Dependability. It's expected by our customers, and it's demanded by me. I personally guarantee the certified techs we send to your home and the equipment we install are dependable. John Wayne's American Pride Comfort Systems are designed specifically for San Antonio's extreme heat and humidity and come with a lifetime warranty. Right now, get a complete new system with affordable monthly payments from $72, plus get no interest and no payments for 12 months. For comfort you can depend on, call John Wayne today. Thank you.
And during the break, A.J. Graham just became a fan of our QB1, Sam Castronovo. We're going to have to introduce him to the man. That is a highly valued shirt, A.J. You have no idea. No idea. A.J., one of the employees here at Matangas. I didn't know they were eligible, but hey.
Everyone's eligible.
And next time around, when you come here, it could be you. You make the trip out of Northeast San Antonio to Matangas
Pizzeria. Best pizza in San Antonio.
Absolutely. Well, here we are in the fourth quarter. And getting comments. Hey, AJ, they're saying congratulations on the win. Tier Myers Haddad agreeing that Sam Castronovo is a hell of a quarterback. Jim Renier reaching back. Thank you again, San Antonio. Much respect. There might be an Inside the Walls IFL edition coming soon. Well, I would certainly hope so, Jim. Well, now into our fourth quarter and our normal fourth quarter segments. State of the team, what has been going on in the organization itself besides, obviously, we talked about the Gunslingers Nation, the new location. What's the progress been?
Since we were on last, Prince Shinola is no longer with us. He is going to explore some other options. And I think, you know, he wrote me a really nice letter, and I don't really give a shit. I think if you sign a contract, you honor a contract. But he wrote a nice letter, and he said that, you know, he has to look after him and his family. And then I kind of went back and checked out some things, and he just got married. And he's from Florida, so I can kind of get where that's going to go. But again, you know, we suspend him. And that's just the business side of it. That's the biggest thing is, you know, these kids sign contracts, and they, because there's no policing from some leagues, they feel like they can do whatever they want. And I'm just a guy that thinks if you sign a contract, you honor your contract. I refer always back to Kirby Puckett. Do you know who Kirby Puckett was?
The name sounds very familiar, but
Kirby Puckett was a hell of a baseball player for the Minnesota Twins. And Kirby Puckett, about 6 months before he ended his career, he took a fastball to the eye, and he had to retire. But about 6 months before that, the organization offered him an extension with a lot of money, and he said, why would I do that? I signed a contract already. And he played out his contract. Lost millions. Honorable guy, did the right thing. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out for him. But, you know, when you look at things like that, I just think that when a player signs a contract in good faith and the team offers him the opportunity, that you should continue to do that. And unfortunately, that's not the world we live in anymore. Because there's no consequences attached to it. So.
Wow, that'd be a great...
my opinion.
Yeah, segment I was going to ask about the statement of the roster. Well, I definitely... state of the roster, I definitely got that.
Yeah, but we... Keep in mind, we got Naquan Murray. So, Prince who?
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the way it works, right? It's next man up. And we have... We now currently have an open spot, and I'm talking to a nose guard from Auburn, a starter from Auburn, 6'5".
Oh, that's right. We're post bowl season, and we're looking for talent.
And he's a great football player. I'm talking to another wide receiver. I'm talking to another linebacker. I'm talking to a few other guys, and we're going to pick the best of the best and bring them in as long as they fit our criteria, which is character first. So, yeah.
Well, Smoking Guns podcast earlier this week, they are on Tuesday, wanted to know, there were questions from other people on the show as well as the hosts themselves. Who is the backup quarterback on the Gunslingers?
I'll answer that.
I've got a lead on that. You have a name, right?
Yeah, I have a name. It's called Nunya.
Oh, I know him.
His name is Nunya, and he's from what university?
What's the matter you? Yeah.
His name is Nunya from What's the Matter You. Okay? I don't tell you how to do your job, Phil. Don't tell me how to do my job.
Zach Brown says, what about Dukon? Yes.
I forgot about Dukon. Matter of fact, I got to send his contract out.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting.
Zach Brown chimes in saying he's the backup. Sure. Why not? Why not?
I can tell you why not. I can give you 1,000 reasons why not. No. Stay in your lane, Zach. Stay in your lane. No, I got 2 jugs machines. The throwing machines?
Yeah.
I got a backup quarterback.
Mark Yamaguchi wants to know if Nunya came from Prep U before then.
And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. It's just, look, I don't like talking about players in general this time of year because nobody's made the team yet. I can tell you exactly how I'm going to do it. So the players are going to report on the 14th. I'm doing the final cuts on the 24th. That's it. We're going to cut 15 on the 24th.
And between the start and the end?
And then if you want to ask me on the 25th, who's our team, you'll see the roster.
Absolutely. Well, that will allow us to segue into our what is the burr under the coach's saddle blanket. This week, we have a lot of things here in the show. Was it anything in
I'm
the show?
I'm kind of pissed Dallas won since they got away with the freebie against the Lions. That's still a little burr in there. But I think the biggest burr right now is I'll just say this. Desperate people do desperate things. And I encourage all players to make wise decisions moving forward. And that's all I'm going to say on the subject.
Well, that's that sounds like a pretty good close here. We will come back for our closing segment.
Sounds good.
And wrap this thing up and send it home. This has been Branded. We'll be back for the meet and greet in just a moment. You're watching Branded live from Matenga's Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas.
Hey, San Antonio, are you tired of the same old chain pizza that tastes like cardboard? I thought we were done eating paper in school. Maybe not. It's up to you. At Matenga's, we bring you flavors that are authentically Texan. We're talking about fresh dough that we made in-store every single day. We're talking about cheese that's shredded in-store for that authentic cheese flavor. We're talking about brisket because this is Texas, y'all. We're talking about our Texas rolls. Can't get those anywhere else. We're talking about Texas ranch because when you put jalapenos and ranch together and you dip it in with pizza, just drink it. Lastly, we got a pothole pizza because we had to name a pizza after our roads. You know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to see you soon. Find a Matangas near you.
For generations, the family recipes at Carrabba's Italian Grill have been bringing people together. From the sweet smell of our scratch-made sauce to our rich layers of lasagna, we believe food made with love leads to tables filled with laughter. Dine with us or order out at Carrabba's.com.
2023 has been a landmark year for the Indoor Football League. Our 15th season saw tremendous growth, both on and off the field. Bold steps towards a bright future, cutting-edge fan engagement, and powerful new partnerships. And we're just getting started. There will be more in 2024. Calculated growth, strong franchises, and the best indoor football on the planet. The IFL.
And welcome back to our meet and greet segment as we close out this show of Branded. Game over, Gunslingers win. This is the point that I'm legally obligated, according to the Internet Bible, because it will void our extended warranty if we do not remind you to hit the like button, comment, and subscribe, just because I have to. We put it here at the end because that's how excited we are about it. But we are really excited about you being a part of this show. We have over 1,000 every single week. Every single week we've been doing. This is the 11th episode.
Well, we've had
some shows.
We've had as high as 3,500 for a show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're consistent.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably...
Thanks to you.
Like 15,000 something now views. That includes the basement episode.
Yes. Oh, speaking of views, Centennial, who I haven't seen as a comment before, coming in late, they've seen the Hummer around.
Oh.
Called it dope. Love the social hangout with the community. Hopefully, he'll be out of the next game soon. Go IFL, UFL, and Texas Beat closing us out with awesome show. Thank you. Thank you, Texas Beat, for being a part of the show. And our next show will be January 17th. So, just another week as we keep rolling on, because that's what it is. We are rolling downhill all day, every day, as we head towards the season.
I think next week maybe we'll have a couple players on that we haven't had on before, give them an opportunity to meet fans, to meet them, and we'll go from there. So,
yeah. Okay, great.
And we'll do our rules.
Yes. Well, I think I'm going to expand on and use additional graphics. I did get some help from the IFL there.
Good.
And
good.
So we'll have something a little more than hand-drawn by me on PowerPoint.
No, that's excellent.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much going to do it for our show.
Okay. So my turn?
Yes, it is.
All right. Miss Susan, I love you. Eli, Liliana, and Mila, it's time to go to bed. Good night.
This has been Branded for January 10th, 2024, recorded live at Matanga's Pizzeria. And as always, keep your guns up. Good night, everybody.